What's up, everybody? I'm Chef Marcus Samuelson, and right now I'm here with my co-host, Jason Diakite. And you're listening to This Moment, the transatlantic bridge that connects Stockholm, Sweden to Harlem, New York City. We've had so many incredible political figures in this program and more to come. Most of them have been women, by the way, Black women. On our last episode, we spoke to the amazing Alice Bah Kuhnke. She's part of the EU Parliament and member of the Swedish Green Party. Alice was instrumental in getting the European Union to publicly denounce racism and declare that Black life matters. And so this week, it's only right that we talk to Aisha Jones. Aisha is a Swedish citizen who was so moved by the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor that she started a digital protest of the US Embassy in Sweden. Yes, a digital protest. A protest that drew 6,000 streams and 60,000 participants. And that was the spark that led the protest to the streets soon after.
I just had a frustration, a fear, and something in me that said that either you are a part of the problem or you're going to be a part of the solution.
She did all this while being a single mother of three and just fed up with all the racism and the hate. That's amazing. Catch it on. 3, 2, 1. This moment. Jason says, or Jason's father says, don't call me before noon because I have artistic license as a creative to not pick up the phone.
I haven't earned that status, but I still don't.
Well, Aisha, you also told me when you came in, you have three kids.
Yes.
So you've got a full plate, I imagine, like every day.
Yeah, it is kind of full, mm-hmm. But I'm grateful and just happy to be alive. My kids are the age 15, 10, and 9. Mm-hmm. The oldest and the youngest have special needs, mm-hmm. Whereas the oldest one doesn't live at home due mm-hmm. to the extent of care that he needs. Mm. And the youngest one is just all over the place. He says that he's going to become the next Zlatan, so he's playing football in
the house.
And the next day he's going to become Marcus and cook, and he's going to be a chef, and then the kitchen is a mess, and it's just
beautiful.
Yeah, and my daughter is the sanity of the house, okay. So the middle okay. one. Mm. So it is a handful.
So tell me about your year. How's 2020? How's it been for you?
The year has been. And I feel sad to say this because so many people are struggling, but the year to me has actually been very good.
It's all right to say it, you know, especially in this time. That's what we also need to hear those stories.
That's my point also. We need to hear those stories. We need to navigate to slowly get into acknowledge that through misery, there's been greatness combined, right? Yeah. Especially in Black experiences, right? Mm. If you think about all the amazing music that we draw from always came from very chaotic times.
Yes.
A lot of the art. So,
and also, as we've been saying, you know, since this summer, you know, racism is a pandemic that's been going on since way before we were born.
Yes.
So, in a sense, Black lives are in a constant state of crisis.
Sure.
Exactly. That's what I realized, I didn't realize it, but 2 years ago, I decided that, no, am I allowed to curse?
Of course. Yeah.
I decided, fuck it, I'm not having this bullshit. Yes, massa, no massa, whatever. I'm going to do me, and I'm going to do me to the fullest length. Mm. So I started having the balls and boss attitude of your father. Don't call me unless I asked you to call me. Don't speak to me unless I asked you to speak to me. And that goes for, just the bullshit that goes around for a Black person living in Sweden. And when I was young, I was a nappy-headed, smart-ass, slick, chubby Black girl living in tiny Örebro. For those that know Sweden, Örebro is one of the places where the Nazis grew strong very fast and very quick in the 90s. Mm. So we used to run as soon as we saw them. And I'm like, no, I've been running my whole life. I'm done with it. Now y'all are going to run from me.
But what was that moment? What was it, a wake-up call? Was it the fact that, was it something you saw in the news? Was it something you discussed with your kids, with your significant other? There must have been a pivotal moment.
Being a model citizens, always doing the right thing, always being there for everyone and everything. And the time that I needed help for my kids, I didn't get it.
Wow.
And I ended up actually suing, I don't know what that is, the city council in the area where I live, and also suing LSS. That's like the organization or institution for kids with special needs or people with special needs. Mm-hmm. And we had been struggling for like so many years to get help that we are eligible for, but still didn't get, because we live in Tiensta, which is labeled as a no-go zone. And people say that everyone that lives there are just cheaters. So I was just like, nah, I'm done with this.
This moment.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot of our listeners are not in Sweden, but maybe familiar with Sweden. And one of the points of pride for Sweden is Sweden is known for being a country with universal health care and free education.
Yeah.
But we find ourselves not only in 2020, but also in the 90s, finding out that the universality of, for example, that healthcare, it doesn't always apply to everyone. Because I take it from what you're saying that you've experienced
so many times
racism in the healthcare and the care of your children.
Mm. But it's also systemic. I mean, you really pointed to a very specific, serious local issue. To have a no-go zone in Tiensta, you all of a sudden just saying that 50, 60,000 of people should be ignored by society. But wait a minute, we do accept their taxes, don't we?
Yeah.
We do accept their services when they work in healthcare, when they work for the elderly. So this is a specific identity issue when we talk about systemic racism.
But here in Sweden, the systematic racism, it is so rooted in the core of all institutions, of everything that you have to go through in society to be able to have a good life, in the schools. As I say, I always like look at myself and my own surroundings. And my daughter came to me and said, "Mommy, I want to change school." And I asked her why. She said, "Don't you like your school? Don't you like your friends? Like, did something happen?" She said, "No, I love my school. I love my teachers. But I have understood that for me to be able to grow and learn more, I need to go to a white school." This is what my 10-year-old daughter told me.
So she goes to school in Tiensta.
In Tiensta.
In the area where you live, the so-called no-go zone.
Exactly.
And she's already realized, basically, that the level of education that she's getting is not going to be good enough for
her.
A part of the progression of the Swedish story has been that we are at a point where, you know, the no-go zones or the underprivileged areas or the forgotten areas or the areas that are underinvested or where the schools aren't invested in or the buildings are not invested in.
And they invest more in the plants outside my house than they do in the schools. Black Lives Matter Sweden is needed in Sweden for us to do better for us. Mm-hmm. But then also to highlight the issues that we suffer in the hands of systematic racism, institutional racism, and just the everyday. So all of that.
But and then on the back end of that, the kind of blowback against that movement in Sweden has just, to me, I mean, in newspapers, in TV news, on radio.
The backlash, I think, is based on ignorance and fear. People are scared of losing their privileges because If I demand my rights, someone who already has all rights, if they are ignorant, they are going to think that that means that I am taking away their rights. And that's not what we are doing.
Through entertainment and through education, living parallel, through culture, we have learned to localize issues. And that's, everyone gains on that. We've done that with the LGBTQ community. We've done that through women's rights. We have done that through the first or second step of the evolution of the civil rights movement, right? All privileges wouldn't be here without the civil rights movement in America that your father and your mother fought for, that Sweden actually had a role in to, you know, that Harold Belafonte and people from that movement could get funded from Sweden. Mm-hmm. Sweden had a huge part of funding ANC, for example.
Against apartheid. Absolutely.
So exactly. So we're great when it's over there.
Yeah.
But we're great when it's over here. Yeah. And here's my point. When Black Lives Matter movement in the middle of the summer had about 2,000 cities in the world, not just in America, but in Palestine, in Australia, in, all over. That was one of the highlights of the year. Because I knew there would be awesome, incredible local heroes like yourself, Aisha, that would then localize that issue. Because Black Lives Matter, Marseille, might be, a Algerian, Muslim, Moroccan, challenge that might feel and live different than Black Lives Matter Liverpool.
Yeah,
you might have a West African, more Caribbean influence, right? And that is obviously completely different than what Black Lives Matter movement in America was versus what Black Lives Matter in Sweden. So you have a localized, and all politics, all movements, all human rights acts, they have three levels to it. They have a grand sort of framework that we can all agree on, whether it's UNICEF or Red Cross, whatever. And then they have a local based-over organization that
with
is
the
super
specific needs specific for that passion. Place. Yeah.
But that is what they are criticizing.
Yeah, but the last layer, which is key, is you have two audiences there. You have the audience of the Black population to inform and guide. But then you have also a key audience, which is the non-Black audience, that say, hey, wait a minute.
Why are you doing this? Do you really need to?
Like, we had to evolve in my family through being a white parents, mixed Black and white kids. When we evolved the most was when during the HIV and AIDS experience in the 80s and the 90s, one of my sister's dearest friends and a big mentor in our family's life, my sister wanted to be a hairdresser, and Michael was her mentor and coach, and he passed away very, very young. And he died in HIV. And it was a turning point in our family's life. And it was a huge turning point in my father's life that was, he couldn't understand homosexuality. He wasn't open to listen to it. And we learned, I hate to say it through this, that we had to learn it through such a horrible, horrible experience. But when it came home to him and understood that he was completely wrong, and my father was my hero, but he was completely wrong about this. It was through Michael's experience. So we all learn through experiences.
But here in Sweden, it is a total disregard of wanting to destroy the image of a perfect Sweden. Sweden has built up, and I work with marketing, so I understand that, like, when you market a product or whatever and you do it to perfection, the slightest thing that could tarnish that thing, you are going to want to, like,
defend
it, criticize it, demonize it, whatever you can. I have, since I'm the one that kind of started this movement here in Sweden, I have been deemed as so many things that I know that I am not. And that is simply because I am screaming for my rights. And I am showing another part of Sweden that Sweden doesn't want to acknowledge. So that's why we have famous writers and journalists and politicians and God knows what sitting in media and saying that Black Lives Matter everywhere is a racist, I don't know how we could be racist, but it's a racist organization. It's a organization of violence, it's an organization of God knows what and what and what. But
and
no.
An organization of exclusion and of left-wing extremism, yeah. All types of very interesting critiques. But Aisha, one thing that I remember, you know, Blackout Tuesday 2020 was a watershed moment, yeah. Right? And think about just the it was just, you know, basically, first of all, the action of posting the black square in your feed. And it was like a new, it was when protests went digital.
Yeah.
And you did something that I was so impressed with the effect of it. You organized a digital protest of the U.S. Embassy in Sweden. Right at, this is what? It's June.
The 2nd of June.
2nd of June. So it's like,
yeah,
Blackout Tuesday. And Aisha rallied people to, and that's basically, for me, when Black Lives Matter Sweden, wow. like, reignites. And you had instructions to post a black square and then geotag U.S. Embassy of Sweden.
Yeah.
And then you collected, I mean, thousands and thousands of people, so that when you went into U.S. Embassy of Sweden, Stockholm, it was just black squares.
Wow.
And that was...
And they were not so happy.
No, but it was so incredibly efficient, because I was wondering, well, how could it... And it was marketed as a digital protest. I'm like, how does a digital protest work? I never experienced that.
Me neither.
And then when I went in,
beautiful.
3 hours later, after it was like 2 o'clock or something, we were supposed to post a black square. A couple of hours later, I saw the effect of it, because I saw, okay, now they can see the amount of black squares is the amount of protesters that are there. It was just... Yeah.
But it reminds me...
I'm really impressed with that.
It reminds me of an incredible, how much room we have to grow, what activism looks like in 2021, and we need new ways. So right there, we learned something from you. We learned something in marketing. We learned something in activism. So thank you for that. I just want to go back to one thing. You're a mother of three kids.
Yeah.
So people are calling you these names. How do you talk to your kids to make sure that they feel safe, and do they know what mom is working with?
Due to Black Lives Matter, they know it even more, but they have always known, because my mother never fabricated things in my life. And I've been through so many things that I decided that I am not going to let my kids believe that mankind is altogether good. Mm-hmm. We do have some bad people, and they need to know that so that they can protect themselves whenever I am not there. And if I would sing them a lullaby constantly, then I'm not doing them a favor. So my kids are constantly aware of things that are happening, but with all of this, especially with Black Lives Matter Sweden, I had no choice but to give them the harsh realities. I don't know, I always go back to my kids. The digital demonstration that we did, I sat and I was scared for my kids.
Wow.
Everything that I do, I always go back to my kids. How would my kids feel if they saw mommy do this? How would my kids feel if they went through this? And so on and so forth. So I'm very selfish in that sense, that I always look to my kids best.
Of course, yeah.
And I don't know, it's just, for me, it was just too much. Everything was just too much. And I couldn't bear to see, because I accidentally saw, I had been dodging it for so many days, and I accidentally saw the killing of George Floyd, and it just went blank for me. And as you say, I think that, not to take away from all the great black men that are out there, but I think that the black women has always, and even more now, taking the front seat and really showing us new ways of improvements. And for me, even though I am a marketing manager, I never had a marketing mind on when I was doing the digital demonstration. I just had a frustration, a fear, and something in me that said that either you are a part of the problem or you're going to be a part of the solution. And I know that if I called my mom and said, hey, mom, I'm sad about this, she's going to say, bitch, you better man the fuck up and do something about it and stop complaining. So I was like, okay, let's just do something. And my oldest son, he, thank God he doesn't have it. But at that time, he was undergoing a, what's the name in English? Undersökning.
At the doctor's.
Evaluation.
Yeah, evaluation for a brain tumor. Mm. So I was like, my heart couldn't bear to call people to go out in the streets, even though that's what I really, really wanted. Mm. I was like, oof, what happened if I catch coronavirus and then I give it to my son? And he like, I was like, no, or somebody else. So I said, no, let me do what I know best. And that is digital platforms. So I just did a Facebook event. I hope that like my friends and maybe their friends would join. But it just, as you said, from a minute to another, it just...
It was massive.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And then less than a week later, there were 8,000 people, black, brown, white, and everything in between on Sagan's Toy, a big square in the center of Stockholm, doing an actual physical demonstration.
Yeah. I remember that. And it Jason was there.
It was, and I, did you come to that?
I was, of course.
Of course
I
you were there. See, and there from the digital, you know, I thought there was the digital demonstration was like very responsible. And I was so impressed with the innovativeness of, this is how we, this is what a protest in a pandemic can look like digitally and still be efficient, you know, still have the power of what protest means.
Definitely.
And then a week later, it was like physical, old school, everybody was there. And of course, that was heavily criticized by some for not, you know, respecting the rules of the pandemic and the virus and so forth.
However, the people that criticize this are also the people that are out in Stureplan having their champagnes and God knows what. So.
But I remember Jason taking away another side of this, right? I remember Jason calling me and we talked about this. And there was an enormous amount of pride in his voice. He says, the next generation is doing it. And he painted this incredible picture. And I love
that you guys call me the next generation. Makes me feel so young.
No, but there was something just right there that I just remember. And you were there with Q3 and
QD3.
Yeah, and I just remember the enormous amount of pride, and it was probably also something you felt like, hey, your dad, his generation did. This is a relay of human rights.
Absolutely,
and him and his generation did their part. And then install that in our generation. And now it is digital and it's both. And my point is that even if Black Lives Matter as a starting point, as an interface, a starting point in Sweden, is imperfect. I'm sure it is because it's handled by human beings.
Mm. But it's a very tired human being.
Yes, but we shouldn't say imperfection should not stop the greater good. Yes. And I know if you started it now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years to conversation, it might be you're writing the Swedish history books for my son, that is, and for Maxi Priest, you know what I mean? For Jason's daughter. Because, you know, you have to remember this. In the 1980s, Nelson Mandela, by the U.S. government, was considered a terrorist.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it just was like not, it wasn't Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. It was Donald Rumsfeld. Mm. It was Dick Cheney. Mm. It was during Reaganomics. So obviously to even say 4 years later that Nelson Mandela was a terrorist, you have to start somewhere, right? And it's one of the, for we talk about it, my son's second name is Mandela. You know, it's the biggest icon in of our generation. So this work, as imperfect and as many mistakes, as passionate to pull, you're building the sub-basement, the basement, the first floor. It's not your job to build the penthouse and the elevator. That's the next person that you give it to. So thank you for pushing and doing this.
And again, just like the birth of the battle cry, Black Lives Matter, which it is more of a battle cry than an actual organization. It's a movement more than an organization. It's a movement that has organizers and organization in it, but it's a battle cry and a movement being started by three women in the United States. And here in Sweden, you, Aisha Jones, people like Ibi Chun, it's also driven by women.
Yes.
And that is powerful to me, that it's not just black women in the United States, but it's in Sweden. And I'm sure if we were to look at Marseille, Liverpool, you know, Rotterdam and these other places where Black Lives Matter exist, that it's probably the same story.
This moment.
This moment.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I wanted to ask you, because when I look at Black Lives Matter Montreal, which is a French-speaking town, right? And English-speaking, but majority French. There was a big dialogue if it should be, Black Lives Matter should be said in French instead. And it was a big push and pull. The movement decided to keep it Black Lives Matter. Was there ever a dialogue in Sweden to call Black Lives Matter by its Swedish name? Or was that never a discussion?
No, it's a good question. No one has actually said this, so No.
I don't think I've ever heard the Swedish paraphrasing or translation of it.
Yeah, I was like, huh, is it even possible to translate? Of course it is, but no one has spoken about it here. I guess it is because English is so close to us.
Actually, it's a good mental exercise to say it in Swedish, because it would be svarta liv betyder något. Eller svarta liv är betydelsefulla.
Yeah.
And saying it like that, it becomes even more a phrase. Yeah. And it becomes even less politicized and just this cry for rights and this cry for justice, right? And in a sense, maybe harder to criticize because, you know, of course, we had just like in 13 when Black Lives, 2013, when Black Lives Matter started worldwide, you know, you had some people saying, well, all lives matter or blue lives matter. It was absurd and ridiculous. And, and you know, we heard echoes of that again in 2020, right? You know, people in Sweden, well, alla liv betyder, you know. But
I think that also we have to remember racism is brought up on capitalism. So, and that is something that we have to discuss, especially in the Swedish society where we are so individualistic and everything is like my plate only. And that is like the mentality of capitalism. And capitalism is what racism is rooted in.
Well, I think there is a queen in there's a queen in America that said it very, very good. Dolly Parton said, "Why did we think that just our white asses mattered?" She just said it like this. But I think as an artist, right? Because artist has always worked cross, mm-hmm. right? Wherever the best sound came from, whether the best voice came from. And when I heard her say it, it was so, she didn't think for a second to say it, right? Mm. She didn't think about it. It was just like, why do we think that just our white asses matter? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, and of course Black Lives Matters. And it was, here's a woman that lived most of her life in the South, in Tennessee, and obviously been an incredible storyteller. But so I do think that support and help can come from anywhere.
Absolutely.
But it's that clarity. And there's a word in South Africa that is used a lot that I wish that actually found a word in Swedish as well, because it's a very important word. It's called Ubuntu. Mm. And Ubuntu is the word where
we talked about it in the that's where we start. Our first episode was Ubuntu.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, but it is a word that, if you think about the context of the word,
it's deeply human.
It's about searching. You trust your neighbors. If you need to drop off your kids, you can know you can drop them off by your neighbors. If you don't have Wi-Fi to milk to flour.
But the word means,
yes.
Walk us through the meaning of it.
But it has this, I want to put it in the everyday modern context, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Because spirituality is something that I think we don't talk about enough in Sweden.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of kindness in Sweden. The majority of the people in Sweden are amazing.
Yes.
And wants to point towards the right way. Mm-hmm. But when we take spirituality out of the conversation, we can't talk about Muslims. We can't talk about a different part of Christianity. We can't talk about all of this. We should talk about structured religion, but also unstructured religion and your spirituality. Mm. Once you start talking about spirituality, words like Ubuntu, it's not, you don't fit in Ubuntu in between yoga and boxing and Stureplan.
No,
there's a couple of words that doesn't fit.
Well, it's so much deeper than that. I mean, it speaks to the humanity and who you are as a human in relation to other humans. Mm. It's like you're putting your finger on the hyper individualism of Swedish society, being that my plate is my plate and your plate is your plate, and I won't give you anything from my plate and put on your plate if your plate is empty, because I expect the state to do that, so I don't have to do that. Mm. I can mind my own business and you can mind your own business. But Ubuntu's meaning being, I am through you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I exist for you, but I also exist through you because of you. And that's seeing the connection between you and me and you and me and people we don't even know. And having and landing in that in a deeper sense then means that I don't even have a plate unless you have a plate.
Exactly.
So thinking about my plate is something I need to protect and not share from, it doesn't even exist. If I'm eating and you're not eating, I'm also starving.
Mm.
Seeing that, I don't know what that journey is going to be like for Swedish culture and for this and for Sweden and for other countries in the world, but coming to that realization, maybe as individuals, that that's actually, you know, if my fridge is full of food, but my neighbor is starving, that's also bad for me.
Because of West African food, I got a cookbook. Can we talk about your cookbook? Tell us about two recipes that we should check out. Because this is important. How can I do? We talk about building bridges, right?
Yes.
And my point about this is
food
African
is
food, Ethiopian food, Moroccan food, Gambian food, Ghana food from Ghana. Or if people ask, we want to be allied. We want to support. We want to help out. Well, either cooking it at home, which is power in the book, or going to a restaurant, it's one start, because you're going to see people from different backgrounds. So please, walk us through two things that my friends out there, our audience can do.
I would say that the recipe that builds bridges would be the köttbullar choux, meatball choux, which is a crossover from the traditional stew of Gambia and Senegal. But instead of cooking it with meat or fish, I used meatballs, Swedish meatballs, because as a kid, I had them thrown at me and said that I looked like a burned meatball. Mm. So I didn't eat meatballs for many, many years. So in order to like reclaim the meatball and like
you put it in your Gambian stew.
I put it in my Gambian
stew. You take that Swedish thing and you put it in your Gambian stew.
Coming back.
Yeah, what's the base of the chew?
Just onions and tomatoes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. So that's one.
Yeah, that's one.
Give me another one.
The second one, I would probably say, maybe fufu.
Yes, of course.
So like, that's you can think about an African staple.
Yeah,
you can think about it as a mashed potato if you want to simplify it, but it's different texture. Sure,
definitely fufu with okra stew.
Yeah. The last thing, because I want to have an artist. no, but it's about bridges. Give me one or two Gambian artists that we can either download or listen to. Why are you putting me on the spot? No, because I do think that what through culture is a window that we can actually slowly start to inspire and go somewhere.
If Swedish Gambian artists, I would definitely say that the hottest one out there right now is a fellow called Fall.
Fall is dope. Up and coming.
Unkis acknowledges.
Okay. No, Fall is good. Fall is good.
Nice. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And he's empowering both us older people and the kids.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for being you. Thank you for, you know, representing all of us here in this land and in the world. And, you know, you're welcome back on the show anytime. Let us know if we can help you in any way, in any form or fashion. You know, one of the things of being at Saga's Toy in June and seeing the actual physical demonstration was that there are so many of us here.
Yes.
We are not alone.
Mm.
So thank you.
Thank you. And also you finished the UNC treatment. You now have graduated in blackness in Sweden. Congrats.
Nice. Thank you.
Boyka, 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 gansha, gansha.
Aisha Jones, Black Lives Matter Sweden.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Go check out Aisha's work with Black Lives Matter Sweden as we continue to have these important, interesting conversations. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everybody. Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.